Yeah, it's different. Okay, we're starting Daf Yud Dalet here in the Daf Yomi. So there's a lot on this Daf, like every Daf in Brachos. So where to begin? First of all, something from the end of the Daf. I guess I've been favoring the beginning of the Daf, but just I just saw this now, so I want to just share it with you. The Dibris Moshe from Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's known, by the way, that Rav Moshe said that everyone always talks about my Igris Moshe. But the truth is, the Dibris Moshe is my real pride. And he writes the following, the Dibris Moshe, right? Because the Gemara says in Yodalat Amabez, Amar Ula Kola Kora Kriyashma Belo Tfilin. Whoever reads Kriyashma without Tfilin, Ki Ilu Meyed Eidas Sheker Be'atzmo. You're giving false testimony about yourself. Amar Abchia Bar Abram Yochran, Ki Ilu Hikriv Ola Belo Mincha. It's as though you brought an Ola without a Mincha, a Zevach without an Asachim. The Korban without the libations. So,
Shabbos we don't.
What? Because Shabbos is an os, because you have an os to replace it. Os to Shabbos.
Where do you learn out that it's habahat talia?
Good. So he asks, Hadimyon kriyashma below tefillin, bekorban below nechasim, nesachim. Lechora ein lezetam. What's lechora? Seems like there's no one connection to the other. He prints this also in his drash Moshe, and it's a drush. It's a great drush. He says that from the mitzvah of nesachim, libations, that even though you pledged a korban, the Torah made you chayav to bring with it nesachim. What's the value behind that? That when you commit to one mitzvah, the Torah says you're on a roll, keep doing another mitzvah. Keep growing another mitzvah. That the Kriya Shema of today should be greater than the one yesterday. And therefore you have to be mosif to chayva ba'odavar, shu'aliniach az gam tfilin. Meaning it's not just enough to say the Shema, but you should live the Shema with your tefillin on. So beautiful from Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Drash Moshe.
You're not Yotzei down the Korban.
What's that?
Listen,
it's not a halacha. It's the Gemara's making a dimyon of Kriyat Sheker, but not the Yotzei, two separate mitzvahs. They're not totally, but the idea is, that's what the Gemara is wrapping them in with each other.
My question is this, why in the Gemara there is a thing in there where someone is said Krishma, and then he put on tefillin afterwards?
Which Gemara?
In this Gemara, this second block, the dot base.
That's what he's talking about. That's why the Gemara.
What I'm saying is that why?
The Gemara is trying to say you want to put the two together. You're still Yotze, but you want to put the two together as best possible.
What? You're not allowed to.
You want to put the two together as best as possible. Someone who doesn't have tefillin, you don't think they should say Shema? Of course they should say Shema. They don't have tefillin. Two separate mitzvahs. Okay, so a couple lines of this Gemara that are key here, but there is it's the most halachic daf has ever gotten to that we have so far. And first of all, it says on the on Amud Aleph, Hasharui Betainis Mao Shiitam, someone who's in the Tanis, is he allowed to taste something? We also have the ideas of Yachid Shigomer Sahalal, days when the Yachid finishes and completes the Halal, complete and incomplete Halal we're going to talk about. Kol HaMespal V'Achakach Yotzal Aderech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oso Lo Chafatzav, whoever davens and then goes out on his ways, tends to hit his affairs, God will take care of his matters. Kol Halan Shivas Yamim Below Cholom, anyone who goes 7 days without a dream is called bad. Nikra Ra. We're gonna have to see what that means. I guess 7 days without a dream, it's bad not to have a dream. We're gonna see what that means in a moment.
I don't understand how this Gemara works.
Yeah.
If someone opens up a Gemara and sees an halacha or sees a case, a guy is tasting food on Yom Kippur. He's tasting on Yom Kippur. He's putting it in his mouth. We know we're not allowed to do that, but the Gemara there insists that you're allowed to do it.
The Gemara is asking about the halacha. You know it because you've already heard all the halachas. You're already living.
But they're doing it. You see, one guy was tasting it, one rav was tasting it, and he didn't swallow, but he tasted it. That means I'm allowed to do that? I mean, how am I
going
to tell?
Achil of okay, what? Hold on. You have to, first of all, number one, you're already assuming the bottom line halachas in everything that you do.
I don't know. I'm using the Gemara as my halacha.
What?
I'm using the Gemara.
Okay, so the Gemara says, "Boy, mina yashin tanim reavami, hasharui betanis maushitam." Can he taste something? Achil v'shtia kabile. What did he accept upon himself? Did he accept upon himself food and drink, or neither? From the fact that Gemara is talking about what did you accept upon yourself, he's not talking about Yom Kippur. He's talking about a tanis that you took upon yourself.
Oh, it's not Paskin.
Yeah, no one's a lot of Paskin from the Gemara because you have to know how to read it. You have to know the Rishonim. You have to know what he's talking about. You're going to walk away with the wrong conclusion. That's why every Rishon made a conclusionary sefer off it. You have Shulchan Aruch, you have the Rosh, you have all the people who try to arrange afterwards. The bottom line. Okay, Amar Rav Yeshua on the Amud Beis says, Amar Shubin Korcha, Lama Kodma Parsha Shema. Why do you have the Parsha of Shema before Hayayim Shamoa? Famous Gemara, right? The Mishnah actually says that you accept upon yourself Kabbalah Sol Machu Shemayim, and then Kabbalah Mitzvahs. Tanya Rav Shimon Yochai, Bedin Hu Shiaktim Shema, you should have began Shema to Shemoa. Shazel Lilmod Vezel Lami, because one is to learn, and then one is to teach. Vayim Shemoa is to teach. Vayim Shemoa to Vayomer, because then is to teach. Lilmod Vezel Lami, because one is to teach, and the other one is to do the mitzvahs. Okay, and they go back and forth as to how the order should have been and what should have been before each other, so on and so forth. Okay, let's see what other gemarj to give you as an introduction, then we'll dive in. Okay, let's put this aside here. Now, first of all, let's talk about Hallel. Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is a minig. Some authorities only permit saying a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh when davening b'tzibur. With davening b'tzibur. That's the Ramah says, especially important, daven the minyan, Rosh Chodesh. Now, we paskin Ashkenazim, all Ashkenazim do halal even privately. When it's halal private, you say it with the bracha. If you're in the middle of Psukkah Zimra and the tzibur is up to halal, the Mishnah Berurah paskins to say the paragraph of halal as part of Psukkah Zimra, and then not to say the regular bracha sahalo, but that's only on Rosh Chodesh, complicated halacha. There are four shitas as to whether you make a bracha on a chatzi halal or not. For example, shitas Rambam, no bracha at all on a chatzi halal. Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, bracha on a chatzi halal. Shitas Arivid, on Rosh Chodesh you make a bracha, but not on the other days of Pesach. And the shitas Haramban, on Rosh Chodesh you make a deka bracha, the other days you do. We're going to see. It's Tosfos, Rav Harman, do not. We're going to see. Private, they don't. By Yahu, in the davening alone, they sure don't make a bracha. Now, So let's see. This is a very important Tosfos on this daf. Very important, which gets to a lot of different issues. So, before I do it, actually, because we're gonna get engrossed in it, let me just share with you another halachas. It says before davening, the Gemara here talked about how you greet somebody before davening and kol amakdim adam shalom lechaveru. Someone preempts you with shalom. You don't say the word shalom before shalom's Hashem's name. You don't say shalom before davening. You say tzafra tava. The Gemara says you say good morning, right? You use other greetings for the morning. So the Gemara in Brachas 54a says that it was decreed that all greetings should be made using the name of Hashem, Shalom, and the heavenly court agreed to this. It's Gemara in Makkos also. And whether this took place at the time of Boaz, which the Medrash root seems to say took place at the time of Boaz, right, where they used the giant concept of Shalom Aleichem, right? The Gemara says that he used this practice, or was later enacted by the Chashmonaim, is another theory that they started saying you should use God's name when you meet with people. That's the Sefer HaMichtam, says the Brachas discusses this. The Shaila Sechuvas Yehuda Yale says that Ezra instituted this. Okay, so the Rashash Bava Kama talks about this. Big machlokas, when it became commonplace to use the Shem Hashem as part of your saying hello to somebody. Now, the Meiri explains the reasoning behind this innovation was to make clear from where all peace comes from, that Hashem is the source of all shalom. That's where it comes from. That was especially necessary in light of the erosion of faith caused by the activities of the Tzedukim. And therefore, it seems like that motivated this takana to use God's name, so to speak, when greeting somebody. This preceded, you know, some considerations of the inappropriate use of God's name. So, for example, the main concern was that, for example, the Gemara says over here, Rashi, brachas den dalam and aleph, eis lahasos lashem he feru torasecha. The Gemara quotes it here as well, that it's a time to do for Hashem, so we abrogated your Torah. That sometimes for the sake of a greater good, we allowed the rules to be bent. The Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed the rules to be bent for the sake of the greater good. Now, how far did this enactment go? Rashi and Makos, Chaf Gilma Beis, presents two possibilities as to whether it became obligatory to use Hashem's name in salutations, or was it a dispensation that you don't have to fear that you're taking God's name in vain by using that in a salutation? Which one is it? Okay. In either case, the modern practice indicates that one does not usually One does not usually use God's name in greeting somebody. It's not the normal mode. So that seems to be a little bit of a discrepancy between what the Gemara is indicating was commonplace and what we do nowadays. We, hey, what's up? How are you?
Well, you say Shalom.
That's God's name. So, but it seems like that's not that everybody does that nowadays. So how did that happen? So the first answer is that it was a temporary enactment just to get things back on track. Now, that fits with whatever time generation you take. If you assume it's the time of Ezra, that needed it big time. We were suffering religiously in Chashmonaim. You see, all these times that are the different shitas fit perfectly with why there would have been such a proliferation. The other, so it's temporary and no longer effect. The problem is the Rambam doesn't mention it. The second approach to this idea is that that enactment is only operative when someone is going to take care to use the word shalom in a proper way. They're going to be respectful of it and reverent of what the word means. Now that we're in a generation where people don't fully understand the implications of their statements and Hebraic statements and their sources, we don't insist on it being said, and therefore it fell a little bit out of use. The Ber Moshe, Rav Yechiel Moshe Epstein, and the Ber Moshe, he has a little bit of drush on this. He says that the enactment was not primarily that greetings should be offered with the name of Hashem, but for the sake of Hashem. Meaning Lishma. It had to have a reason for it, not just say the name of Hashem. And therefore, it must be realized that greeting others is not just a social ritual, but a profound religious act. And once someone didn't realize that, there was no need to say Hashem's name anymore.
So when someone comes in the shul and you say, Shom Aleichem, you're using God's name, right?
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
And that's where it's coming
from. That's where it comes from.
God's name is Shalom.
Yeah.
But therefore, you're allowed to give those kind of greetings?
What do you mean?
Are you allowed to give during the middle of davening?
No, it's saying even before you shouldn't. Can't interrupt in the middle of davening.
You can't interrupt.
No, davening, you can't.
And you don't say it before either.
Right, before you should say tzafra tava or good morning. The question of the word using shalom before davening at all.
Oh,
yeah, now, fine. So therefore, pronouncing this, this process of saying this greeting became similar to pronouncing the holy name of Hashem, because that was the idea. The effects, this has several nafkaminas in halacha. So again, what's the chakira? Is the reason they stopped the enactment because people, it was a temporary enactment to get the train back on the track? Or no, it was a more permanent, but it was only in a time when people appreciated the fact that this word is going to have such an amazing connotation. Which one is it? Many nafkaminas. For one, it's going to be usher to pronounce shalom in any place that's inappropriate to say God's name. Let's say you see someone in the restroom. You're not going to use it. So that's the same chakira. What's behind it? Is it because the act of offering a greeting is now sanctified, or is it because the word shalom is now considered holy?
People don't know that, so they're using the word shalom constantly.
Correct.
Without realizing.
Yes. So the Shach mentions the idea that most people are not careful about this chumrah. Some of the authorities were hesitant to allow using shalom to greet somebody who doesn't have a yarmulke on, because he's going to respond using Hashem's name without the yarmulke on. So you have such a, others, the Minchas Aron was makel on such a thing, saying that, you see, the whole thing from the beginning was based on Eis Lasos LaShem. It was an abrogation to begin with, and it's there to help realize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, which is a much bigger value. If the guy doesn't have a yarmulke, he doesn't have a yarmulke, we'll figure it out when we get there. Okay, a very important sugya here is the issue of Hallel.
One more thing.
Yes.
You say, when you meet someone, okay, let's assume it's Shabbat. Do you say it's Shabbos first and you say Shom Aleichem, or do you say Shom Aleichem and then say it's Shabbos?
What?
I never know that. What do you say first? Are they interchangeable? You say Shom Aleichem?
You don't, we said nowadays you don't have to say
Shabbos.
We said nowadays you don't have to say Shalom anymore. We don't. This whole thing is understood as a heter, and we saw the common practice now is not to necessarily have to say it. If you say it, it's a good thing, but one doesn't have to say it. Okay. Now, Tosfos on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Tosfos Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. It's a big Tosfos over here. So the Tosfos is called Yamim Shehayachid Gomer Behemes HaHalel, the days when the Yachid finishes the Halel. So the Halel, to give you a background, the Halel consists of six chapters of Tehillim, and the early Nevi'im established that as an expression of Hoda to Hashem, these chapters should be recited in their entirety on 18 days of the year. 8 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Chanukah, first day of Pesach, 1 day of Shavuos. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, there are 3 additional days which the the whole Hallel is mentioned. Second day of Shmini Atzeres, second day of Pesach, second day of Shavuos, for a total of 21 days. That kind of recitation is called Gomrim Esa Hallel, completing the Hallel. Hallel is also said in the last 6 days of Pesach and Rosh Chodesh, but on those days, the first 11 psukim of Prokim Kuftes Vav and Kuftes Zion are omitted, and that's called Hallel Bedilug, a skipping Hallel. Okay, Hallel Bedilug. Our Gemara discusses whether one who says Hallel is allowed to interrupt his recitation for certain reasons, just as you could do that while saying Shema. And the Gemara concludes that on the days that a Yachid is Gomer Hallel, the law of Hallel is the same as that of Shema, that you could interrupt only for specific parameters. Otherwise, you cannot interrupt. You cannot interrupt. The law is even more makil, though, on days when you don't complete the Hallel. That's what the Gemara says, when you don't complete the Hallel. So the objective of this Tosfos was to describe two categories of days on which the Hallel is said. And the difference between them is also on days when an individual is going to complete them. The Tosfos wants to clarify that the Gemara is not speaking about when it refers to an individual. And therefore, it's not speaking about it. And the same distinction, meaning when it said Yachid Gomer Sahalal, when an individual finishes Halal. Tosfos didn't mean to say, to engage in a discussion, the Gemara didn't mean to engage in a discussion of a Yachid versus Rabim. The phrase Yachid Shagomer Misahalal in the Gemara, says Tosfos, meant when somebody, private or in a tzibur, finished the halal. So therefore, and he says it's only a custom that we say a partial version of those halals. And therefore, the question is whether or not do you make it on a minhag? Do you make it on a minhag or not? Right? Do you make the bracha on a minhag, which was huge? You have also in this Tosfos a very important gemara when the base of Migdash stood. One of the special mitzvahs that was fulfilled each day of Sukkot was the arava, right? The willow branch. Bring large arava, standing them around the mizbeach. And after the first base of Migdash was destroyed, Chagai Zachariah Malachi instituted a custom of waving aravas on the seventh day of the festival, which we call Hashanah Rabbah, to commemorate the Arava obligation. The Amorayim disagree about whether this Arava waving ceremony was Yesod Nevi'im, an enactment of the prophets, or Minag Nevi'im, a custom of a prophets. The practical difference between the two of them is whether or not a bracha is recited before doing the ceremony. If it's an enactment of the prophets, then it's considered a rabbinic obligation, which has brachas. If the ceremony is only a Minag, then it's not even a Derabbanan and no bracha. And that distinction is learned from the Gemara on 44 on Mem Dalet Amid Beis. Another topic that comes up in this amazing Tosfos is how do you do the Hallel at the Pesach Seder? How is that supposed to look? And what's the format for the Hallel? Does it get a bracha? And so on and so forth. This is a really significant and very, very important Tosfos. And there's a lot of lumdis. There's a lot of lumdis on it. What's that?
We split it up at Pesach.
We break it up. The question is why? Right. Maybe it's Asher Golan or the bracha, someone argue. The whole discussion, exactly. So some lumdis over here on this finishing Hallel piece is that there's a chiluk between the din of Amiras Hallel on the days when you finish Hallel from the mitzvah of Kriyashma, right? Complete Hallel versus Kriyashma. By Kriyashma, you have a din of Kriyas Parshios Kiksava, reading the Parshios as they're written, but you could stop in between the sections of the Shema. Because Kriya Shema, there's also a Chalos Kiyom Agavra de Kabbalas Ol Machu Shemayim. And therefore, when he reads the first line, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, with Kavana, he already has a Kiyom of the Kabbalas Ol Machu Shemayim in that first paragraph. And so on and so forth. On the other hand, the days when you do the Hallel, the Yisod is a Kiyom Kriyas Parshias. Right? What's the Kiyom of Shema? Kabbalas Ol Machu Shemayim. You nailed that in the first paragraph. Okay? The rest is how you do the mitzvah. By Hallel, the Kiyum is the reading of a segment of Parshas that combine together to form a unit. That's the mitzvah. And therefore, that's why in some senses, the interrupting a Hallel is worse than the Shema. Okay, in that way, in some senses, it's more strict and more severe. Okay, so Hallel, there are two didim, says the Brisker of, two didim and kiyumim. By Hallel is the kiyum of kriya, of reading. There's also the kiyum kriya v'aniya, the back and forth response, because Hallel is supposed to be like a shira, a song. That part when the chazan does the ana Hashem Oshiyana and they go back and forth, it's an integral part of the Hallel. It's an essential part of the Hallel. It's not a side part of the Hallel. Okay, that's another piece within this. Ramban holds the Chi of Hallel and Yantif is part of the mitzvah of Simchas Aregel. And therefore, for him, the Ramban holds, there's an element that's midaraisa to the Hallel. It's part of the Simchas Aregel when you do it on Yantif. And there's a kiyum of Simchas Yantif, actually, when one is reciting the Hallel. Rav Soloveitchik brings a story. My Sahaya Babrisk. There was a story in Brisk, Shalok Karas HaHallel B'Beiz Yom Rishonim Shal Pesach, where they did not read the Hallel the first 2 days of Pesach. And they asked the Grach, Rav Chaim, someone who missed it the first 2 days of Pesach, should they do a complete Hallel on the third day of Pesach in Chol HaMoed? Should they do the complete Hallel or a skipping one? Reb Chaim Paskin to read the Hallel Shalom. Why? Because Kol Yomei Achag HaPesach, Kevan Demeviim Asa Korban Musaf, B'chol Yom Havisin Chalos Kedushah Sharegel. Since you bring a Korban Musaf each and every day, each day has a Chalos Kedusha of Regel. And therefore, that Kedusha is Mechayev at least once. A complete Hallel. A complete Hallel. And therefore, if you don't read on the first day of Yontif, read it on the next day. But on Chag HaSukkos, on the other hand, you bring a Korban Musaf that's unique to each day. And therefore, each day has its own special chalos. And therefore, each day will be Mechayev, a Hallel Shalom. You hear that? It's the Lamdus of Reb Chaim. Beautiful Lamdus of Reb Chaim. What else to share? Yes, therefore the Hallel gets Hallel Shalom in Sukkot. That's why it's different. If you look at also the Haftorah, Shabbos Chanukah, the brachos we make
so
also.
If you miss the first day, you don't say the complete one after.
On Sukkot, you do each day. You do each day. Every day you do Hallel Shalom.
Oh, you do Shalom on Sukkot.
Yeah, okay, fine. Now,
the reason we don't say Hallel on Pesach the first or the second day is because of the people who were killed. I mean, because they even...
died. Drowning the way. Don't worry about that. We're going to get to that daf. You'll get to it a few times. Sanhedrin. I have one more minute here. So there's another chakir of Soloveitchik has. Yesh lachkor bedin birkas hamitzvahs. Do you make a bracha on kiyam hamitzvahs or a dafka on a chovas hamitzvah? Are you making a bracha when you make a birkas hamitzvah on the fact that you're fulfilling a mitzvah or on the obligation of a mitzvah? Says Rav Soloveitchik, the nafkamin is going to be, do you make a bracha on an optional mitzvah? Right? Rambam holds you make a bracha only a chiyav mitzvah, not on a kiyam mitzvah. And therefore the Rambam is going to make a chilik between a takana to a minig in terms of a bracha, and that's why he doesn't have women making a bracha by mitzvah aseh shazman grama. Because for him, the bracha is on the chovas hamitzvah, not on the kiyum hamitzvah. We didn't even scratch the surface of what I needed today. All right, no, stop there for today.